Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle.
With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Wednesday. Welcome in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Amazingly, this is the final night game of the year for the Cardinals on a week. I guess final night game overall because they'll play three straight day games in Chicago coming up this weekend. So this is it. Now, we'll still have some sports play-by-play here on KMOX on some of these nights. We'll have some NFL football, whether it's the Chiefs, Thursday Night Football, some other Westwood One stuff. We're not that far away from Billiken season, so we'll have Billiken's basketball for you. And you never know what else might pop up. But, yeah, we've got almost a whole show today, but we're going to have a lot of sports open line here moving forward and glad to be able to do that as the season really does start to wind down. As always, if you want to chime in on the program, you can do so. Multiple ways to get connected. You can call or text 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or you can leave a message on the stream for those of you who are watching on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Just leave a comment in the chat, and we'll get to some of those as we continue on. We'll continue some of the conversation that we had going during Redbird Rush Hour. From a guest standpoint today, we've got a few folks that are going to come on. Bernie Miklas is going to be with us for his weekly conversation here on Sports Open Line. In about 10 minutes, we'll get him at 6:20. Later on this hour, we're going to talk with Bradley Wright Phillips. He is a MLS analyst, MLS 360 analyst for MLS Season Pass and Apple TV. We'll talk City SC with him. And then a little bit after the 7 o'clock news, we'll talk with our friend Jay Binkley. He is from 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. We'll talk some Kansas City Chiefs football and some NFL football with him. Outside of that, it's going to be mostly baseball on the program tonight. And let me start with this. There's a few things that happened in the game yesterday, and I'm not just trying to turn this into a post-game show from last night because we did that. If you weren't with us, by the way, we wrapped up the post-game show last night at 1:05 in the morning. That was when we got done, which was good. And we had calls last night. We had comments coming in. There was a lot of activity, so there was a lot of people who were up with us at 1 o'clock in the morning. But we wrapped up our Cardinals coverage at 1:05 in the morning, not this morning, technically. I say last night, you know what I'm saying when I say that. But yeah, it was 1:05 when we wrapped up last night. Sidebar, let's say you're somebody who likes listening to the post-game show, but these West Coast games, it's a little bit too much. You got to be up for work. You can always catch the archive of the Extra Innings Show. It's available as part of the Cardinals Conversations podcast page. You just go to KMOX.com. You go to podcast. You find Cardinals Conversations. And so that can be your morning listening if you want to listen to last night's post-game show today sort of thing. You can always do that via the Cardinals Conversations podcast feed and just find the Extra Innings Show. So that's always available for you. But we enjoy people who listen to us live because we're able to have some interaction. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed last night's game. Bernie Miklas, who's going to join us in about 10 minutes, as I was driving in today, I was listening to him do one of his hits on the Dave Glover Show. And I was really happy with what Bernie said, because there are a million reasons to be critical of the Cardinals and this team and the things that are going on. But at some point along the line, an idea that kind of got hijacked, or an idea that kind of got brought along with all the other criticisms that go along with it, is that this Cardinals team isn't entertaining, that this Cardinals team isn't fun to watch. And I've always pushed back on that. Are there games where they're not? Yeah, of course there are. That's 100. And my contention has always been baseball has the widest margin of being not good to really good. A really, really bad Major League Baseball game is worse than a bad football game. It's worse than a bad basketball game. It's worse than a bad hockey game. But I would also contend that a really, really good baseball game is better than a good football game. So baseball's best is better than I think all the other sports, but baseball's worst is worse than all the other sports, if that makes sense. It's a wide gap. So have the Cardinals played some clunkers this year? Yep. Have the Cardinals gone through some periods this year where they haven't been the most entertaining team in the world, where there's been a lot of non-compelling things going on? Yes. All that's true. Not trying to run away from it. But you know what? That's true for every team in baseball. It just is. You pay attention to the Cardinals on an everyday basis, so you see it, and it's frustrating, and they're not winning as many games as you would like them to win, and then all of a sudden they go play a clunker, and this idea that this team is just not a fun team to watch all of a sudden gets like put into everybody's psyche as being a thing. And speaking of things that I would contend in the strongest way possible, that this has actually been a pretty darn entertaining Cardinals team this year. And if you listen to me, you know I don't like talking through the attendance thing. Like I just don't think it's an interesting conversation, and I don't think anything new has happened to add to the conversation. But when it comes to this, talk about ideas getting hijacked, the fact that the Cardinals have had a hard time drawing fans this year, I think has been placed next to this idea that they're not an entertaining team. Oh, fans aren't going to the games. They must not be an entertaining team. I don't think that's what's not driving fans to games, or driving fans away, like however you want to say it. That's not what's going on. There are other reasons that fans are not showing up. There's a lot of reasons why fans have not shown up. And again, we've already gone through that, and we've talked about it way too much. And it's just to me, it's a very boring conversation. And I think most people who want to talk about the attendance have an agenda behind it. And I don't have an agenda. And until new information is brought to me, it's not something that I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about. This has been a fun team this year, and last night's game is a great example. If you were with me at 1 o'clock in the morning last night, I think I was pretty fired up. I had a lot of excitement to me. I was telling Daniel Henkamp, our producer, who's here right now, was shoulder to shoulder with me last night as we were on the air until 1 o'clock in the morning. When that broadcast finally got done and I was done for the night, I got really tired really, really fast. But I kind of had a baseball high last night because I enjoyed that game so much. And the fact that they found a way to win, the fact that they won in the fashion that they did win in, it was a really cool night. And I think for people who have not spent a lot of time paying attention to this team this year and have just kind of followed them at a cursory level, at a surface level, you've missed a team that's got some compelling pieces, has been fun, plays hard. Like that's, we always talk about what kind of teams represent baseball fans in St. Louis? What kind of teams do baseball fans in St. Louis want? The teams that go out there and play hard and don't give up and all that. Now, there's other things. There's a team that plays good defense and a team that has really good base running and a team that can turn a pretty double play and things like that. And at times this year, the Cardinals have been that. At times, they haven't been. But they've always been a team that goes out and puts an effort in every night. And that is to be honored and respected. And last night was the poster child for that, because so often this year, they've had that ninth inning rally that comes up a hit short. Kind of that false hope rally. Well, there was no false hope yesterday. That was a legit rally and was a whole lot of fun. We will take a break. When we come back, our friend Bernie Miklas will join us. We'll talk through that a little bit. We're going to continue that conversation that he started on the Dave Glover Show earlier today. We'll do that coming up in just a moment right here on the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are back at it here on a Graybar Sports Open Line. We're taking you to about 7:45 tonight. Coverage from the Cardinal Radio Network will begin at 7:50. Another late one tonight, the final night game of the season for the Cardinals, and we'll be with you all the way. Like I said earlier, we wrapped up our post-game coverage yesterday, or technically this morning, at 1:05 in the morning, and we'll be ready to do that again tonight/tomorrow if the game goes 3 hours. Again, if it's a win like last night, I think it's probably worth it. Let's bring in Bernie Miklas, our conversation courtesy of Saliga Heating and Cooling. Hey, Bernie, how are you?
I'm doing good, Matt. I think I might want to get a night owl job like yours.
I don't know. You know what? It is not conducive, especially when you've got two young kids at home, but right. That's all right. I make it work.
No, you do. You do a fantastic job, man. And you're like the marathon man, because, you know, it's not like that's the only thing you do. I hear you all the time. So it's good. I respect the hell out of people who work hard, and you certainly qualify for that.
I appreciate that. That's fair. Says the guy with 9,000 jobs. So we're like-minded on that.
Brother, it's keeping me alive. So I got no choice, right?
Let's your video today was about this, and I don't just try to like repeat the conversations you have on the Glover Show when we have you on, but I talked about this in the first segment, and I've really been thinking about it a lot, because this year, the idea that this team has been an unentertaining team, it's been a hijacked idea that's like been just tethered to the attendance conversation, tethered to the record conversation. Somehow that got connected to it. But when we really take a step back, and last night's a great example, but last night's a really special win, this team has put a pretty entertaining product on the field more often than not.
Well, 100%. And listen, like I said in the video, there are times I get really ticked off watching them as a fan, and it gets frustrating. But, you know, there are some things about the team that's really appealing, and I think you can have it both ways. It's not all or nothing. I mean, you can be really disappointed. Maybe the season hasn't turned out better. You can be disappointed at individual player performance. You can even be mad about some of that stuff. No, I'm not. You're not saying people shouldn't be mad about it. But what drives me a little bananas here is that, you know, people just go. They just go way too far. Like, in other words, social media is a lot of reason to blame for it, because people dig in on social media. So if they say this team's awful, it's boring, it's the dullest thing I've ever seen, you know, DeWitt's got to sell the team, I can't believe Marmol, you know, just like I feel sorry for those people, and I'll explain why briefly. Because they're so driven to impress other unhappy people on X or whatever, that when the team that they claim that they love or they follow or they care about, when they play really well and maybe they exceed expectations, you see Ivan Herrera just going nuts this month. It's almost like they can't enjoy it, because they're in this state of like nonstop rage all the time. And my thing is like, you know, there are two Bernies, like I said in my video, and I know some people say, gosh, yeah, are you saying you're a little cuckoo? Well, I am, but that's not what I mean. But Bernie the fan, you know, when I follow a team, and I love baseball, but I love everything. But let's just stick to baseball now. I follow baseball. I was watching Detroit and Cleveland last night. Unbelievably entertaining. Yeah. So Bernie the fan loves watching the things that I care about, and I love watching the Cardinals, even if I get mad sometimes. But I don't get it to where we all knew what this season was about. We all know it was a conflicting priorities. We all know Ollie was put in a weird spot. Because what are we here to win? Are we here to just play young guys, even if they don't want to, even if they don't deserve it? You know, it was a very confusing season, and that played a lot, that had a lot to do with like why it was kind of hard to, you know, be real positive all the time about the Cardinals. But when you see this team and they're out of it, and it's like they're the last to know, apparently. You know, they're digging in, they're fighting back, they're throwing punches, so to speak. You know, 39 comeback wins this year. And at times they look a little dull, but like I said in the video, you know, people confuse like a lethargic offense. In other words, just a bad offense.
Right.
They confuse that with like a lethargic effort, and they're entirely separate things. And that's one of the things that drives me crazy. People talking about, oh, they don't care. You know, look at them. They're going through the motions. Listen, when you have an offense that doesn't score a lot of runs, right, you're going to go through phases where it's really tough to watch. And it's really kind of hard for the players to look all fired up. I mean, they're not doing well. They're frustrated too. But it isn't that they don't care. It's that they, as a team, aren't good enough. And there's a huge difference.
Yeah, people always talk about, are they having fun? Well, you know, how you have fun? You win games and you score a bunch of runs. So when you look into the dugout and it looks like guys aren't having fun, that's not the first domino. That's the second domino. And sometimes I think people need to be more understanding of that.
Yeah, and I like this team. Yeah, it can drive you crazy from time to time. But I like this team from the standpoint of this was a strange season the way it was set up. So I had low expectations. And they've actually probably been better than I thought they would be. And there's some things about this team to really love. You know, I'm talking about me, Bernie the fan. Who doesn't love Ivan Herrera the way he hits? Or watching Alec Burleson get better and better? Or watch Mason Wynn play shortstop? How about this bullpen?
Yeah.
I mean, they trade three mainstays on July 30th, 31st. And I looked it up today. You know, this bullpen, with all these new kids cycling in, you know, Ollie and Dusty Blake, this bullpen is just about as good as it was before the trade.
Yeah,
and it's like, so what? Not everything with this team is garbage. So I don't know. I don't understand why people want to make it all bad. You're not a fan. I mean, I speak from my own experience. I got credibility. I worked at my grandparents' store because I wanted season tickets to the Washington Capitals when they came into existence. 16 years old, working like a dog, not going out, not doing anything because I wanted to go watch hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And I would drive to the old Capitol Center, and I was there for every home game for a team that went 8-67-5. Mm-hmm. And I loved every bleeping minute of it. I could not wait to go to the next game. So no one has to lecture me about, well, they're losing, it's kind of tough. I could go on and on and on. Y'all ain't ever had season tickets to a team that went 8-67-5. I can assure you.
Yeah, this is and you mentioned the criticisms of the DeWitts, and is there culpability on the DeWitts on what's happened? Absolutely. I'm not trying to just give them a free pass, but the question I ask people who are critical of the DeWitts, and I've never gotten a real answer to, if the DeWitts are only in this for the money, if that's all they care about, if they don't care about winning, if they don't care about the team, then why would have they had such an expenditure of this year of redoing the spring training facility, bringing on more staff, spending a lot of money on the infrastructure and the technology and all those sort of things?
Right.
That is it. We can argue that they should be spending more money on payroll like that, but that's not part of this argument. Don't tell me that the DeWitts don't care and are only in this for money without having an answer for, well, why are they going spending money that they don't actually have to?
They're investing a lot of money, more than they were budgeted, I'm told, because of some overruns, but also they're doing some stuff that's maybe a little bit new. They're putting more into pro scouting, which mm-hmm. is a great development. And I think they're hiring maybe a few more people under Heim Bloom. I don't have the particulars on that, but they're actually ramped it up to spend more on this. So let me ask a Cardinal fan who's disgruntled about all this. So where do you think, let's just say they're spending $20 million. I think it's more. So do you want to spend that money on another mediocre, non-difference maker starting pitcher? Or do you want to do whatever you can by putting that money instead into redeveloping your entire dang player development system, which has been sputtering, particularly in the play in the pitching area. I would say, no disrespect to Miles Michaelis, I would say that money's much better spent in where they're spending it now.
Yeah.
And I don't know how anybody could disagree with that.
Isn't it weird how so many people will lift up the Milwaukee Brewers and the Tampa Bay Rays for the things they do, but then when the Cardinals start doing some things that are sort of similar to that, all of a sudden the Cardinals are cheap. The goalpost is moving on that conversation.
Yeah, and Bill DeWitt told me, I had a talk with him about all of this, and he said, yeah, I think the Tampa Bay model is great. I think the Cleveland model is great. And listen, he tried to hire Chris Antonetti when Walt Jocketty was fired, but Antonetti wanted to stay in Cleveland. Bill's been a long admirer of Tampa Bay and Cleveland. You know why? Not because he's a tightwad. It's because he envies a great player development system. Mm-hmm. But he said, it only goes so far, though. We have to do a much better job of drafting and developing and finding value in the people that we bring in. He said, but the Cardinals have always had stars. He said, I believe, and he goes back to childhood, I believe, he told me, this is a franchise where you have to have stars. So, like where Tampa Bay develops stars, but then they let them leave as free agents or they trade them. He said, if we're going to develop stars, but we're going to try to keep them. And you know, it isn't just like, okay, just recycle in, cycle out, have a whole new roster every 3 years. That's not what he wants. He understands the need for stars, which is why he brought in two of them, Goldschmidt and Arenado. I guess it's his fault that they couldn't hit in the postseason, you know.
Clearly.
Yeah, I mean, people are just unreasonable. Hey, I've been critical of Bill, who I respect. I've been really critical of Mo, but I keep going back to something. People are entitled to what they feel, but this isn't a contest to see who can have more rage. You know, when I hear people talk about, you know, Bill DeWitt's ownership over 30 years, I just laugh at them because I don't know whether they're really that crazy or maybe they're just pulling my leg or something. But you would think the Cardinals have never won anything. It's just absurd.
He is Bernie Miklas. You see him on STL Sports Central doing both videos and also his written content. His daily Redbird Review column is a must-read for all Cardinals fans. Doing the Cardinals Territory podcast with Katie Wu as well. He's all over KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Great to have you with us. City SC, they're on a little bit of a roll right now. They haven't lost in the month of September. That is good. They've got back-to-back victories. This past weekend, they knocked off San Jose on the road 3-1. The week before, they got the win against CF Montreal 2-0. So over their last two matches, they have outscored their opponents 5-1. Over the last three matches, they've outscored their opponents 6-2. So things moving in the right direction. Just three more matches to go, and they are going to be at home coming up on Saturday night as they take on LAFC. We're very happy to welcome on to the program. He is a part of the team over at MLS Season Pass and Apple TV, working as an MLS 360 analyst. It is Brad Wright Phillips. Brad, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
How you doing, Matt? Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, thank you for taking a little bit of time. As I mentioned, City's on a little bit of a roll. They've played two pretty solid matches over these last couple weeks. What have you seen from them, a team that's really out of playoff contention, but maybe playing their best soccer right now?
That's what it is. I've been trying to work it out. There seems to be a little bit more freedom. If you go back to the first season, you guys' first the expansion season, there was freedom. There was an unknown about St. Louis. And of late, I've seen that. Maybe the fact they know they're maybe not getting into the playoffs or postseason won't be as, you know, fruitful for them. Maybe the players are relaxing a little bit. Also, João Klaus, he's a player that I think lost his way for a while. He seems to be involved in everything. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think the attack just looks a little bit more threatening. Obviously, Leuven was out for a while, you know, with personal reasons, and he's back in the side. When he came back in, they started to play well. So there's a few things, but the most important thing is that they're playing some nice football and getting wins.
You mentioned João Klaus, and we obviously know that his ceiling is a really high ceiling, but he's also a very unique player, and you need to make sure that he's got the opportunity to have success. When you have a player like him specifically, how important is it, and maybe David Critchley is doing it right now, how key is it that you have a coach that knows how to dial things up to be able to put somebody like Klaus in position to be as impactful as he has been recently?
It's very important. I couldn't speak highly of more of, you know, that what you just said, because you can look around the league and there's, I won't name names because I don't want to disrespect anyone, but there's strikers that I see week in, week out that are very good, that can affect a game, that will score goals if given the chance. But you almost have to play to those, you have to almost build around those players. Now, I'm not saying build around João Klaus, but you know, he's nice with his feet. He's got aerial presence. He can score with both feet. So anytime he's in and around the box, I think he should be an option A, who you're looking for to get on the ball in those areas. When you do, I think good things happen. So, yes, it's just playing to those players' strengths and almost building an attack around, you know, a player like João Klaus.
Yeah, is that something that's really unique maybe to the striker position, that's if you are going to build something around a single position, you're looking at striker because that's going to be the position that has the most possibility of getting you goals?
I think normally you build around a playmaker. But I don't think it doesn't just have to be one player. I think if you can get your playmaker on the ball, somebody like a Leuven that can find and Marcel Hartel that can pick out passes. If you make those players know, you know, when you get the ball, you got your head up, can we see if João Klaus is open in the box? Can we see if he's made a run? You know, can he be the option A? I don't like going back to myself, but when I played for Red Bull under Jesse Marsh, we had a thing in training, or just our part of our philosophy was option A. So when we win the ball, the number nine, which was mostly me, would be option A. If that's not on, then you can find an option B or C. But first of all, it's option A. And it worked out for us and worked out for me. And I think a lot of teams could maybe use that, you know?
I don't know how much you read kind of what's come out of St. Louis, but the narrative over the last few days since that San Jose matchup, it seems like a lot of players have gone out of their way to talk very positively about David Critchley, about the job he's doing leading this team, almost politicking for him to get the full-time job. What does it say to you that there are two things are happening? They're playing good, so they're speaking with their actual performance, but then they're speaking with their words and their voice as well, saying that they want David Critchley to be the guy.
It sounds like it's a coach in David Critchley that he's got the boys to buy in. They're obviously enjoying training, obviously enjoying the games. As a player, the most important thing is going into work and enjoying it. You know, every player has to feel like they have a chance of being part of that starting 11. And what I'm seeing of late, it seems that David Critchley's got them together. There's a togetherness. And yeah, and if you're in that locker room, you don't want that to change. So credit to them. No matter what happens at the end of the season, we don't know. But credit to them, they feel like they have a good thing going and they would want that to carry on next season. So all the best to Dave Critchley, and they have to keep performing. The better the players on the field perform, the more chance he has.
How much should the organization look at what's going on right now with this team as they go into the offseason? And they've got two really big decisions to make. They got to bring in a new sporting director. There's an internal candidate there and John Hackworth. They need to find a new head coach. And we just talked about Critchley. Do you look at what has happened here at the end of the season as a reason to maybe boost the idea of in-house candidates keeping those jobs?
A lot of things go into it, but you have to take – you know, you have to take into account what's been happening of late. That would be stupid to not. You know, you need a reaction from your players to a head coach. Now, there's going to be more stuff, you know, what kind of style of player they're trying to do, what are their ideas for the future, what, you know, long-term plans. So all these things will come into it. But if you're asking, should this hold some weight in the argument and decision? Yes, it should.
We are continuing to talk with Bradley Wright Phillips. He works with Apple TV and MLS Season Pass as an MLS 360 analyst. Looking at this matchup this weekend, LAFC coming into St. Louis, St. Louis on a run. What is the key? What, as you see this matchup, what most intrigues you about it?
Oh, man. First of all, it's a mouth-watering matchup. The way LAFC are playing right now, the way St. Louis are playing right now, it can only be a good game. Now I've probably jinxed it, and it's going to be 0-0. So, but what I see is, if I'm on that St. Louis side, you have to take away the space in behind. If you're thinking of the attributes of Denny Bouanga, Son, and Martinez, if that's the three they're going to play with up top, they like to run into space. And not only do they like to run into space, they're very dangerous in space. They will punish you. So if St. Louis can take away some of that space in behind that back line, they have a good chance of getting something out of the game. LAFC are not going to pass you to death. They almost want you to have the ball You know, they've got a little bit better with the ball, but they almost want you to have the ball and then pounce on you. So the more St. Louis can eliminate those threats, the better chance they'll have against this red-hot LAFC side.
You mentioned some of those high-level players for LAFC. And this show that you're on right now, this is just kind of a general sports talk show. We talk a little soccer, but we do baseball and hockey and everything. So there's a lot of people who are listening right now who either have not jumped on the soccer train or don't know much about it. Is this one of those matches with LAFC coming in that's worth going and checking out? Because those high-level players, not to take anything away from the City SC roster, but some of those guys for LAFC, they do some pretty special things. And for those of the people who maybe don't follow the sport or don't really know the entertainment value, it's an opportunity to see some pretty cool stuff.
100%. It's a game, if you're local, if you're going to be in St. Louis, you have to go and watch these players, these LAFC players and St. Louis. The beauty about these kind of things, let's just take Son, for example. The beauty of him coming and playing in St. Louis, you're going to come to see him, but you might leave seeing a Marcel Hartel banger or João Klaus magic moment. And then that will make those players, those fans or those casuals stay. But I can promise you this, if you go to that game, you're going to see high-level football. You will be entertained.
Brad Wright Phillips is joining us. Before we get you out of here, if you could talk a little bit about the MLS Season Pass package there on Apple TV. Just a few weeks left here in the regular season, but then the playoffs are going to be coming up. If City fans want to adopt another team for the playoff run, this is a good time to do it, and you can see every minute on Apple TV.
100%. If you're not sure what team you want to adopt, just watch the 360 show. You'll see a bunch of goals flying in every 5 minutes. It's really hard to like keep up with it, but entertaining at the same time. Yeah, we have a brilliant countdown show before and then the wrap-up, obviously, to end the weekend. But, yeah, just tune in, lock in. You get to know the league, get to see a bunch of goals and great plays.
He is Brad Wright Phillips. Again, you see him on MLS 360, part of the MLS Season Pass package. Brad, thanks so much for taking some time and enjoy another weekend of soccer, and hopefully we can talk to you again down the line.
Oh, man, enjoy it. Good luck on the weekend, and thank you for having me again, Matt.
You bet. Thank you so much. That's Brad Wright Phillips joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. And by the way, we're going to be at Hot Shots today's Wednesday, right? I always lose track of days. Yes, today is Wednesday. Need to make sure that I knew what day it was. Tomorrow, we're going to be doing one of our soccer showcase shows, and we're going to do that from the Hot Shots in Fenton. So the way it will work tomorrow, I'll be there at 5 o'clock for Redbird Rush Hour. I'll be there. Kevin will be in studio. 6 o'clock, Jen Cease will join me, and we're going to do the City Spotlight part of it, and then we'll do kind of a normal Sports Open Line during the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow. So that's what's going to be going on. But would love for you to stop on by tomorrow. Hot Shots in Fenton, the live broadcast portion and the player portion and everything, that's going to be going on from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock tomorrow, and hopefully you can join us. But the thing that I keep getting kind of stuck on is these huge decisions that are coming up for this organization. Sporting director and coach, and you got to get these right. You got to get these right. They have not gotten as much right lately as you'd like them to get right. And you just got to get this right. So how do you weigh, I don't know if they're going to conflict. Like this is where I'm a little bit lost here. If what they have done now conflicts at all with like the direction they want to go, how do you reconcile those two things as they're trying to make these decisions? I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know if there's an answer to it. I just know they played a lot better soccer recently, and I give credit to them for doing just that. We're going to take one more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the 7 o'clock hour, and then our 6 o'clock hour, and then we'll get into the 7 o'clock. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. I'm all over the place, but I do know we're less than an hour away from Cardinals coverage. We'll wrap up hour number one of Sports Open Line in just a moment here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. Hour number two will be just a bit short as we'll get out of here at about 7:45 or so and get you ready for Cardinals baseball tonight. The Cardinals are trying to complete a series sweep of the San Francisco Giants. Tell you what, Cardinals have been a thorn in the side of the Giants. San Francisco came into St. Louis a few weeks back. That was right as the Giants were kind of playing themselves back into wild card contention. And the Cardinals took that series. And then it was the Cardinals who last night officially eliminated the Giants from playoff contention. And the Cardinals kept their technical contention alive for at least one more day. And it would just have to be absolutely beyond miraculous at this point for the Cardinals to, when they're a loss or another team's win away, basically, from being eliminated from the playoffs. So that is certainly likely to happen at some point in the very near future. But hey, you know what? There's some value in staying in this thing mathematically as long as possible. I also think, and the people are going to scoff at me on this one, and that's fine. Scoff away. I accept the scoffing. There's value in not being a losing team, right? I correct people all the time. They'll say that last year the team had a losing season. No, they had a non-playoff season. Not good enough. This year they are currently with a losing record, and they've got some work to do. If they lose one more game this year, the best they can do is be a 500 club, and if they lose two more games, they'll have a losing record. So they have an uphill climb for either of those things. But at 78-80, the idea that this team could still not have a losing record, there's something to be said about that. All right, we'll have hour number two after the 7 o'clock news here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it as we get into the 7 o'clock hour. I have about 40 or so minutes left, and then we'll jump into coverage of Cardinals baseball. Cardinals, their final night game of the season tonight. They are in San Francisco, and they are set to match up against the Giants. We're going to talk some football right now. Happy to welcome back onto the program. He is our friend, part of the team over at 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, our sister station, and Kansas City's home for the Chiefs. Of course, KMOX is St. Louis' home for the Chiefs. He is Jay Binkley. You follow him on Twitter at 3 Guys in a Garage. Jay, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Hey, good, my friend. How you guys doing?
Doing all right. So a bit of a sigh of relief, I guess, for the Chiefs after that 0-2 start. It wasn't a great performance, but it was good enough against a bad Giants team, and a win on the road, you always take 22-9. And I would guess the hope would be that maybe that starts to open things up.
Yeah, you think so. And, you know, there's, you know, some concern, I guess. The Chiefs were 0-7 playing against the Giants in New York. So, you know, there's some interpretation by playing out there. And, you know, the Giants were feeling confident. They were coming off, even though they lost to Dallas, they lit up that Dallas defense. As Russell Wilson threw for 450 and three touchdowns. How bad is Dallas' defense if Russell's doing that to him? But, yeah, the first half was sloppy for the Chiefs. They got things together. And right now it's just dog paddling, man, just trying to keep that head above the water until they get Rashee Rice back and Xavier Worthy, who looks like he'll be back in the lineup this weekend for the Chiefs. But, you know, just until they can get some of their main players back, just trying to stack those wins. So, yeah, it was an important win because you want to keep a bad team down. And, you know, they allowed Russell 161 yards passing. They only allowed Jalen Hurts the week before 101 yards passing. So they've only given up 261 yards passing the last 2 weeks that'll play.
Those two guys you mentioned coming back, are they good enough to get this Chiefs offense back humming along, or is this something where maybe there's still a piece out there somewhere that needs to be added?
I think they will. I think there's going to be confidence. And keep this in mind, when they signed Hollywood Brown before last season and he was hurt in the first preseason game against Jacksonville, you know, he was, of course, hurt to start the season. He's played there at the very end. Rashee Rice was hurt in game four. So this group of receivers they have, and first-round pick Xavier Worthy, showing a lot of promise, Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown, they've never played a snap together. So we'll see what happens, and Chiefs have full confidence when they get those guys all out on the field at the same time. And they really like the emergence of Tyquan Thornton a lot and what he's meant to this team. He's been that deep ball threat for Patrick Mahomes. They are showing the ability to throw the ball downfield more. So you get them sprinkled in, and then you have Jalen Royals, who was the fourth-round pick, who was banged up the first couple games of the year. He did dress out in New York. They'll get more and more action from him going forward, the only receiver they took in the draft. So I think they feel pretty confident the way this offense is coming along. I know they love their first-round pick, Josh Simmons, the left tackle. They do. Yeah, this is going to be growing pains, obviously, for a rookie, but they like the promise that he can show. The running game remains a big issue for the Kansas City Chiefs, as do the wide receivers, but of course the wide receivers will be somebody be coming back. Unfortunately for running backs, nobody will.
They've got running backs who have had success in the past with Pacheco and Hunt, but so far it doesn't – is it more an individual issue with those running backs, or is it more about the offensive line going and run blocking and allowing them an opportunity to have success?
You know, they here's the one thing. I mean, these running backs, you think about last year, Joe Tooney, the left guard, he was first team all pro last year. He's with the Bears now, of course. So they have their place. You have Creed Humphrey, first team all pro center. And then you have Trey Smith, the second highest paid guard in the National Football League. He was a Pro Bowler last year. So they should be able to run. I mean, they have some maulers that they can block. You know, when you watch the film and everything else, Pacheco is not necessarily, you know, really hitting that hole, you know, following those blocks. And that's been the biggest disappointment. You know, he's not doing that. So, yeah, I think they have the ability to do it. They definitely don't need Mahomes to keep on running the football. Luckily, that kind of slowed down against the Giants last week. And then there's Elijah Mitchell that came over for the 49ers, but he's been inactive the first couple of games. He is on the 53-man roster, but they haven't utilized him. I'll tell you this much. I would not be shocked if the Chiefs start dipping in the trade deadline for a running back when the November 4th trade deadline comes up, because I do think that's an area they might try to hit.
You mentioned Tyquan Thornton. He had the best day for a receiver in that win against the Giants, the 71 yards receiving, 9 targets, 5 catches. He was the most targeted receiver. Travis Kelce, a tight end, targeted 7 times, second on that list. Was there any surprise for you with how much they're looking to Thornton right now?
No, it's not, because here's the one thing. You just kind of pay attention to what, like, Reed and Mahomes were saying, you know, through the offseason. Tyquan Thornton was signed here last fall to the practice squad. So he was with the Chiefs, building that chemistry with Mahomes. He was, you know, still in the practice squad, but part of the team that went to the Super Bowl. So Mahomes clearly, you know, knows his skill set. Mahomes worked with him the offseason. He was one of those guys that go work out with Patrick down in Texas when he does the camp pat down there. And when Patrick, you know, would say, hey, how about Tyquan Thornton? You know, he would single him out. Like, if you ask Patrick about a receiver, he'll tell you about that receiver. But just to bring him up, it showed me, okay, there's something with Tyquan if Patrick's mentioned. Then Andy Reid was mentioning Tyquan Thornton. This is right after OTAs. They didn't get the training camp yet, and they were bringing up Tyquan Thornton. Then he gets up to training camp, and he has that breakaway speed. The one thing about Tyquan is, I think he's realizing his potential. He was drafted by the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. And there was a lot of people that faltered in New England when Tom Brady left. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster didn't work out in New England. He comes back to KC. That was a mess in New England before Mike Vrabel is trying to turn that thing around. And he was a second-round pick just a couple of years ago. He was a second-round pick, 50th overall. So he wasn't like a seventh-round pick or an undrafted guy doing some things. No, he's a second-round pick. But not only that, man, he ran a 4.28 at the combine. And he's 6'2". And for a minute, or it was like an hour, they had to go back and review the film. But at the combine, he initially ran a 4.21, which would have beaten John Ross. Of course, Xavier Worthy beat John Ross's 4.22 at a 4.21. But before that, Tyquan Thornton actually held the record for fastest combine time. They went back, looked at the film, and gave him a 4.28. BU, and I know it's still very similar to 4.28 and 4.21. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is blazing speed. So he has it, and he's got Mahomes' trust. Sure, he didn't come down with that catch when Mahomes aired it out, but one thing Patrick does is goes right back to you. Like, if you drop one, he'll go right back to you, show that trust in you. So I do like that chemistry developing between Patrick Mahomes and Tyquan Thornton, and they'll use it because with Xavier Worthy's injuries, he's going to be wearing a brace. He's never going to be 100% this year. So Tyquan Thornton, who does a lot of that, you know, speed nine-round type situations that Xavier Worthy can do, so expect that, and plus the speed of Hollywood Brown. So to get that whole crew together, because you know the Chiefs do want to throw the football down the field. Last year they were 31st in the NFL in air yards, 25 yards or more. They're much, much better at that this year. So, yes, you see the frustration with Travis Kelce, and you know, everybody kind of sees that. But, you know, he's an aging guy. And you know what? You start taking that pressure off. You get these receivers back, and all of a sudden they draw the attention. That way, you know, a 35-year-old tight end is not drawing double coverage and someone shadowing him. So I do think his production can go up once some of the attention's paid to some of the other wide receivers that are coming back.
Talking Chiefs football with Jay Binkley from our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. On the transaction report today, the Green Bay Packers moving on from Mecole Hardman. He'd been on their practice squad. He was released. Do you see any scenario where somebody like him ends up back in Kansas City?
You know what? I would think not, but I would never say never with this team. These guys just keep finding their way back. I mean, McColl's already been back here once. When he went to Jets, they made a small trade to bring him back to Kansas City. Of course, Juju comes back to Kansas City. Kareem Hunt comes back to Kansas City. So I would never say never, only because he's familiar with the offense and I think he would be serviceable for the next couple of games. But I really don't see a place for Mecole Hardman in this offense. They want to kind of wait out the three games, and they have a very tough schedule, you know, coming up, of course, with Baltimore this weekend, and then week six, the Detroit Lions. But they're at Arrowhead Stadium, both of those. But I just can't see that skill set, because he didn't really offer a different size and skill set than they already have. With a Worthy, who I expect to come back this week, and, of course, Hollywood Brown out there, and what you're seeing from Tyquan Thornton with that speed. But I'm going to never say never, man. Never say never, because the Chiefs find a way to bring back old friends.
Patrick Mahomes does remain on the practice report. He's got a right wrist injury. It's not impacting his ability to practice. But sometimes you have little nagging injuries like that, and as the long grind that is an NFL season goes along, all of a sudden that becomes a little more something. Is there any reason to be concerned about this wrist and that it might turn into more than what it is right now?
I don't think so. I don't think so at this point. Just kind of, he's a tough guy, plays through this kind of stuff. So wouldn't worry a whole lot about it right now until it really shows up, and you know, see what happens against Baltimore this weekend to really make any judgment. So I wouldn't put a lot of stock into it.
Before we get you out of here, just wanted to get a quick Royals question in for you, because they're a team that they played solid baseball throughout the year, recently officially eliminated from playoff contention. What's the general feeling about this team right now, where it is a disappointing season that they're not in the postseason, but they're a winning club, they're an above .500 club, it seems like they're still doing some things well?
Well, I think so. And the fact that they made it all the way to last night before officially being eliminated, it bodes well for them. I mean, this team is close. They know they're close. I mean, look at Cleveland and what they're doing in erasing that 15.5 game lead that Detroit had. That's been unbelievable. But Kansas City was past Cleveland, you know, a month ago. You know, in the summer, they were past them. They were ahead of Cleveland. They've been ahead of Cleveland several times this year. But if Cleveland showed, hey, to turn around and do things, the Royals can do that too. The problem with the Royals has been, you know, that right field situation. They bring in Yaz. I think they did a good job at the trade deadline. But the frustrating thing for the Royals is they're top 10 in every pitching category. You know, starters, relievers, and just as a whole, they're number 4 in all of baseball. They can pitch. And last year they had the number 4 and number 2 guy in the American League for the Cy Young. Cole Reagans has come back and pitched 2 times now since he's been hurt. But he was hurt that whole stretch. He was hurt the whole summer. This guy finished 4th in last year's Cy Young. Seth Lugo, once they paid him all that money, he just kind of came back, you know, to the pack a little bit. But, you know, still serviceable. Then the Royals make a deal with the Padres for Ryan Burger, who's going to be a very good pitcher in this rotation. Stephen Kolek, that's going to be good in this rotation. And then Noah Cameron, the fantastic rookie for the Royals, who's done a great job, one of the best rookie pitchers in all of baseball. But, yes, the pitching staff is there, and that's the most important. So that kind of identifies what they need to do, and that's power-hitting outfielder. Because Sal Perez had a very solid year. Vinny Pasquantino, you know, 107 RBI so far this year. Bobby Witt Jr. has a chance to once again be the hits leader in Major League Baseball. So they've got a good core of players, but this pitching staff is really good, but they've got to figure out some more power in that outfield.
It was fun being in St. Louis when the Royals were here because it was the debut of Jack Caglione. He just it's looked like a rookie season for him. Obviously, they pushed him very, very quickly. Have they just taken the approach that, especially once the numbers really started to dip and you kind of knew where he was going to be, he's a sub 200 hitter, is that just accepting it for this year, knowing that this experience is going to be worth it in the long run?
I think so. You get him this experience. He's shown everything. Put him in AAA and in the minor leagues. He crushes it. Crushes pitching. So learning at the major league level, probably the best thing to do. Probably the best thing that he needs. He's going to be a fantastic player. He really is. And I always thought when they brought him up here, it was going to be, even though they talk, well, the pressure's not going to be on him and all that. That's not true. I mean, the Royals were starving for a power hitter in the outfield like Jack. They moved him to the outfield, not his natural position. They moved him out there. So you knew with this guy just crushing the ball and hitting these long home runs, like destroying things like he did at Florida, and then through the minor leagues, just hitting home runs all the time, going quickly to AA and AAA. And you knew when he got to Kansas City, people were expecting him to hit a home run all the time, right? So even though they talk about there's no pressure on him, there's pressure, you know, on him to, you know, to contribute. And I fully expect that he'll be back and good next year. And I tell you, they really like Carter Jensen, one of the top prospects in baseball, catcher. This kid is good, and he's got a great swing. And he was another guy that just had a fantastic year. He was the Royals' number 2 prospect. And the one thing about it, like Noah Cameron's a local guy from St. Joe, just up the road, and Carter Jensen's from right here in Kansas City. So they've got 2 homegrown guys, you know, right on this roster. So, you know, fans can get behind, but they're, you know, very good contributing players. So I think that kind of helps the excitement of what the Royals have. I think they're very disappointed because this pitching staff was good enough to do some damage in the postseason. They just needed to find a way to get to the postseason. And they didn't. I mean, they were good this year throughout. Some of the teams are 5-1 this year against the Rangers, and they were good against Seattle. But, yeah, can the Royals compete just like Cleveland can? 100% so. I mean, the Royals and Cleveland aren't that far apart.
He is Jay Binkley, part of the team as a host at 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. That is our sister station. Follow him on Twitter at 3GuysInAGarage. Jay, thanks for the time. We'll check in with you every once in a while through the football season.
No problem, my friend. Call me anytime you want.
Awesome. Very good. That's Jay Binkley. We appreciate him taking some time with us. That's our final guest for the day. So we're all Cardinals from now until until maybe 1 o'clock in the morning, because we'll jump in. But as far as Sports Open Line, nothing but Cardinals as we lean towards the end of this show. If you want to get in here on anything, this would be the time to do it. You can call or text 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. text. You can also get in on the video chat by leaving a comment, or you can tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. So if you've got anything Cardinals related on your mind that you want to talk through, we can talk through. I got a couple more things I want to get off my chest as well. We'll do that between now and 7:45 as we get you ready for Cardinals baseball tonight. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it here on KMOX as we roll on. We are taking you all the way until 7:45. Then we'll take a 5-minute water break, and then we'll be back with you for Cardinals baseball and Cardinals coverage beginning officially at 7:50 this evening. I loved last night's game. And again, I know it was really late. I realize that. And there's a lot of people have to be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning and 6 a.m. Alarm clocks and things like that. But for those of you who were able to stick around, I hope you were able to enjoy it just as much as I enjoyed it last night. It was a really, really fun game. I'll pull back the curtain a little bit because this is kind of part of my experience from last night. I'll tell you how things sort of work. When I am watching the game, when the team is on the road, the way I watch the game, I'm able to do a radio overlay. I think it's important that I hear the radio broadcast if I'm doing the post-game show. That way, if John and Ricky and Klaibs are talking about things during the broadcast, I can chime in on it. I can continue the narrative. I do all that. So I even when watching it, I have a radio overlay. As we get towards the end of the game, generally we get to what's going to be, it looks like, the final half inning. I switch the audio feed to the TV feed because once the game gets over, there's a lot of things to do in a really short amount of time for me to get ready for the post-game show. So I just changed the audio on it. That way, if on the TV is Ali or a player or something, and like we're on a commercial break in the post-game, it's just right there, and I can take a headphone off, and I can listen to what's being said and things like that. And then at that point, I put the radio headphones on. When I do that, the radio feed and what I have on the screen are not totally lined up, so I'm just kind of sort of listening to the radio feed, and then if something happens I really need to see, I'm able to look up. But again, it's just sort of getting ready for post. I had a little bit of a different experience last night, and I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it. So the game goes to the ninth, and like I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I knew the Cardinals were going to do what they did in the ninth inning, but there was, I just had this sense about it yesterday that this might be something. And I literally put my headphones back on so I could hear the radio feed, and I just closed my eyes and I listened to John Rooney do the play-by-play. And there were a couple things that happened that I wanted to make sure that I did see. So I know that my feed is 8, 9, 10 seconds behind where he's at. So there were a few times in the ninth inning, obviously on those hits and everything, that I opened up my eyes so I could see what the Donovan hit looked like, what the Scott hit looked like, what, you know, all that, right? But basically, I was sitting there with my eyes closed, just listening to John Rooney do the play-by-play of the ninth inning. And I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it. It was, and one of the cool things, if you were listening last night, John actually said it would be great for Brendan Donovan to hit this thing out to the right corner so Victor Scott II could take off from first. What happens? Donovan hits that thing out to the right field corner, and then Scott takes off from first, and Pop Warner sends him from third. It was a really, really gutsy call. But I wanted to share that experience that I had, because it was I really enjoyed it. Just closing my eyes in the moment and listening to John go through that ninth inning, as someone who just loves like the art of play-by-play, It was really awesome, and we are blessed to have the Cardinal broadcasters that we have. And last night, more so than a lot of times, the enjoyment that I was able to have of just taking a breath, sitting back, and just intently listening to an inning, and it was that's the inning that it turned into. It was awesome. It was really awesome. So that was another one of my takeaways from that game last night. Let's go to the phones. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. It's Richard who has given us a call. Richard, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yes, I have three things that I'd like to see Hein Loon do this winter. Okay. Number one is fire Marmol. Number two is hire Yachty as manager. And number three is trade Gorman for starting pitching.
Okay, what don't you like about Ali?
He's been terrible for 3 years.
No. Give what don't you like about Ali? I didn't ask you. That's a broad thing. What does Ali do? Give me. I'd like to hear examples. What does Ali do that you don't like?
The way he handles the bullpen.
You're kidding, right? What. What move has he made in the bullpen? That's his greatest strength. Richard, there's issues I take with Ali. His management of the bullpen, there are people who hate Oliver Marmol and can acknowledge the fact that he has done a masterful job with the bullpen. What in the world has he done with the bullpen that you don't like?
He's three games over 500 in 4 years.
That's no not what hey, would last. Richard, I asked to answer the question, man. If you're going to come here and say that Oliver Marmol deserves to be fired and I ask you why, you got to tell me why. Tell me what he does with the bullpen that you don't like.
He leaves the pitchers. He leaves the bullpen pitchers in too long.
When? Can you give me an example?
Any he left him in too long with Helmley, and now he's leaving him in too long with Romero.
With who?
With the closer now.
I mean, Riley O'Brien?
No.
JoJo Romero?
Yes.
When does he left? Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I'm really not. I just. I'm legitimately surprised, Richard, because again, that's the area that I think Oliver Marmol gets the most credit for, his management of the bullpen. So when somebody is telling me that Oliver Marmol deserves to be fired because of his management of the bullpen, do you realize how good this bullpen has been over the last 2 years? You look at the rankings that they have across Major League Baseball. You look at the fact that the team traded away three key relievers, and they've been pretty much just as good since the trade deadline as they were before. Like he does a masterful job of managing a bullpen.
If they had those three relievers, they'd be in the playoffs right now.
Maybe.
And number two.
Hold on, but Richard, the numbers aren't different. The numbers since they traded those guys away are not different from a bullpen perspective than what they were before the deadline. There's been one or two games that they've lost when that second group of relief pitchers have not performed well, but that's right on par with where they were at before. I'm not convinced that the bullpen would actually be that much better because there hasn't been a drop-off since the deadline.
And what do you do about the fact that they're two starting pitchers short?
How is that Oliver Marmol's fault?
He's supposed to be able to influence the general manager.
And the general manager, well, it's the president of baseball operations. That's who John Mozeliak is. That's his. His title. He controls the roster, and Oliver Marmol has a job as a manager. And if you're going to, if there is a problem at KMOX with the morning show, am I responsible for it because I'm the night show host?
No.
Okay.
But they've still been two pitchers short for 3 years.
I agree. The roster is bad. The roster is not good enough. That's not Oliver Marmol's fault.
What other manager would last for 4 years when there's three games over 400 in that time?
I don't know. I think you
there isn't any.
Sure, there are. You evaluate the job that's been done, and it's a roster issue. It's not a managerial issue. Richard, I appreciate the phone call. 314-436-7900. I think there are a lot of managers that if they were hired and they did the exact same job that Marmol has done over the last few years, they would be keeping their jobs. Let's grab another call. Who's the who do we have calling? Rick. Rick's giving us a call. Hey, Rick, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yeah, Matt, while I have the same name as Richard, I have a different opinion. I think Ollie deserves at least 1 year under Chaim Bloom because, as you just said, he's not responsible for the roster. He has to deal with the material he's given by Mo and by the DeWitts. My only thing is, the first time you get to talk to Chaim Bloom, please tell him not to use the term that they're going to be competitive. Because Mo's used that for years, and all that means is we're going to try to make the playoffs.
Okay. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I'm excited to see what it's going to look like with Chaim. I think there's a lot of words that we don't want to... I think we're done with the word runway. In terms of competitive, I don't know what other... If the idea that next year is kind of another year in this rebuild, reboot, reset, re-whatever year, I don't know what other word they use other than competitive if they think it's going to... Because they're competitive this year, right? They're competitive. There's four games left in the season, and they're still not mathematically eliminated from playoffs. They're also below 500. I'm not trying to put lipstick on a pig here. They're a fourth place team. They have a losing record. All these things are true. I'm not trying to run away from the truth. But they are competitive. They are a team. A couple bounces here and there, they could easily be right there in playoff contention. We've got just a couple minutes before we have to get a break. We're going to grab one more phone call. Brooks has given us a call. Brooks, I got just a couple moments for you. You're on Sports Open Line.
Sure. Hey, I just wanted to ask what your opinion is on Nolan Gorman. You know, now that he's had a whole year, you know, doing the developmental thing. You know, Arenado maybe out the door. What would you do about third base?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. I am more up in the air on him than I've been at any other point this year because of how he's finished off the season. 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I was singing the praises of Nolan Gorman. Since June 1st, he had the second or third highest OPS on the team. His third base play was getting better. It wasn't Nolan Arenado good, but it was getting better. And I really, really liked what I was seeing. And I've talked about this before. He did so much work on his swing. He fundamentally changed it. So he took his bat speed. He kind of slowed things down to get all the other pieces together. And then he brought that back. And that's what that from June 1st on, I thought that's kind of who Nolan Gorman was going to be. And he's going to be kind of a slightly above average player, a guy with good power. His OPS was going to be well into the 700s, all of that. And I liked him. And then his September has been terrible. His September has been terrible, and it brings us back to, okay, is this who Gorman is, that he just cannot be a consistent player? I am still very much enthralled by the idea of having that power bat in the lineup because the Cardinals do not have that much power. I think we're seeing good power from Von Herrera, but when your leading home run hitter this year is going to be around 20 home runs, whether it's Contreras with his 20 and Burleson and Gorman, Burleson and Herrera are now right there behind him. Like, that's not enough. You need more power. You need more home runs. So that's what I love about Gorman. I'm not as all in on him right now as I was a month ago, and I'm disappointed by the way he has finished out his season. I've said this before. I think it was the most important season of his career, because it helped shape the Cardinals on what direction they want to go and if they want to hand the third base job to him. And in this so important moment of his career, he just hasn't hit at all, at all. All right, we will take a break and we'll come back and we'll wrap up the program. Again, we've got Cardinals baseball tonight. We've got coverage beginning in about 12 minutes, so we got a few things to get to before we can do that. 314-436-7900 if you want to text in here. We probably don't have time for any more phone calls, but we'll see if we can get maybe a text in before the night is over. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left here on the program. We're out of here at 7:45. Don't go far, though, because 5 minutes later at 7:50, we will officially be underway with Cardinals Radio Network coverage of the Cardinals and the Giants. Cardinals looking for a series sweep. They win tonight. They go into Chicago for the weekend. If they can keep winning some games, maybe they finish out the year with a winning record. Maybe they finish out the year with a 500 record. I'm not going to have thoughts of grandeur that the Mets and the Reds and the Diamondbacks never win a game the rest of the way and something happens there. But the Cardinals control their own destiny in terms of still being able to avoid being under 500. It's heavy lifting, tough hill to climb, whatever stupid sports broadcaster cliche you want to use. It is that for them being that way, and it's the position they have put themselves in. A lot of people are doing the looking back game, and I get it. Like, there's lots of reasons, lots of times, lots of moments where you can see this year, hey, if this loss would have been a win, if this decision would have been made, maybe a few other losses would be wins, and it becomes that much more pronounced when a team is just 3.5 games out of a playoff spot and you will so desire for the team to be a playoff team, but it's just, it's probably not in the cards. 3.5 games back with 4 games to go, and 3 teams that you have to jump over. It is probably not going to happen. But good to see them continue to play some good baseball here down the stretch of the season. Like I said earlier, yesterday's game was awesome. I had so much fun just being able to watch and listen to that game yesterday. And I don't know how many more of those there's going to be. You always get a handful of really special performances, special wins during the year. The Cardinals have had a few of them. About half of the Cardinals' wins are come from behind wins. Now, not all come from behind wins are created equal. If you're down 1-0 going to the bottom of the first inning and then you score a bunch of runs, that you were down, so you're coming from behind, but that does not feel the same way that that yesterday's win feels. So, we'll see. Cardinals tonight send Sonny Gray to the mound as he is going to make his final start of the season. And I think Gray's had a fine year. It's not been a great year. It's not been, hey, this guy is in Cy Young contention kind of year. But at the end of the year, you're going to look at the numbers and you're going to say, certainly good enough. Question is he going to be around next year? Is there going to be some conversations about possibly trading him? We've got coverage of Cardinals baseball, Cardinals and Giants from San Francisco. Our coverage begins at 5 minutes right here on your home for the Cardinals, 104.1 FM KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle.
With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.